Today's program has been brought to you by the Heritage Meat Shop, located in the historic Essex Street Market in New York City. For more information, visit heritagemeatshop.com.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, we're back here, Morning After. We got some great guests in studio. Jenny Brittenbauer from Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream. And our friend of the network, in the network, one of the top-rated shows here, Jimmy Carbone, Beer Sessions Radio. Also owner, proprietor of Jimmy's Number 43.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, guys.
Thank you.
Hey. Welcome. You know, I've been away for about 4 weeks. Jimmy, have you ever taken that long of a break here on the network, or...
I have Jones for it if I'm away from it, you know?
Yeah, I'm back. And actually, I wanted to read because I was the one of the later hosts to sign up for Heritage Radio Network. I'm a member now. Thanks so much for becoming a member of the heritageradionetwork.org. Your membership card is enclosed, which I have here, nicely laminated. We also have included a list of the most updated membership benefits and discounts. And I want to say thank you to Erin Fairbanks, Executive Director, Erin and Jack, and of course Patrick Martins. And she said on here, P.S., you have the coolest number, 555 is on my card number. Sitting directly across from me is our good friend of the show, Jen Tulloch.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello.
How are you, Jen?
I'm fantastic. I have a Bloody Maria.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my favorite shorts. They're high-waisted.
Did you miss me?
Forgiving.
Did you miss me while I was gone?
I missed you. Pam and I held it down that episode, but there was, I will say, a chasm in my heart, a black chasm.
Yeah, I was, the first weekend I spoke to you guys, I was in Breezy Point, and then the second weekend I was in the Bahamas.
Well, that's an upgrade.
Yeah, well, I don't want to lose either those places. So no, I'd say a lateral movement in beaches. But I don't know if anyone's been to the Bahamas or been to Atlantis or anything. I don't think that necessarily people that go to Atlantis listen to this network or possibly listen to the show. But it's a strange. It's a really cool, very efficient. If you're an operations person like myself, it's an extremely efficiently run but extremely expensive place.
Did you have any exotic cocktails?
I only had one drink the entire time I was there. I had a pina colada.
Nice.
And for two reasons. One, I just needed to relax. And two, they were that expensive that I was like, why? It's not even worth getting drunk here. But I did have a great time. It was fun. It's nice to be back in the studio with everybody. Do we have a Yelp thing going on? Yelp?
We do. So a couple of weeks ago, I had the pleasure of co-hosting with the lovely Pam Stubbs. And Pam and I were talking about this little viral video situation that's going on. A couple of actors film themselves reading in dramatic fashion some of the more colorful Yelp reviews. So we decided to take that one step further and invite a dear friend of mine, Dame Joan Plowright, the Baroness Olivier, an actress of epic proportions, into the studio today with us to give our own rendition.
Okay, great. I think in episode, if you go back to the Morning After archives, episode 3 or 4, and this stuff has probably been done forever, but we did have a Yelp reviewer in studio. We invited him in studio to defend his Yelp review.
How did that go?
Well, it was the fact that no one took him serious was, you know, and he was in here, defending his medium, like he ordered a steak medium and it came out medium rare and all this other stuff. The people didn't get to him fast enough, all that crap.
A former guest of this program, Joe Santiago, of Joe's.
Johnny
Santiago. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sure people do that all of the time to him. I'm sorry, Johnny. made a little splash because he responded to a bad Yelp review. And basically ripped this girl to shreds and was like, you are an idiot. And this is why my restaurant is awesome. And I was like, good for you, man. I feel like, I mean, whatever. I was just reading that this morning because I was researching and I was on Yelp and I saw that Eater did a little piece on it. It was really funny.
It's strange. We do live in our little bubble, because the fact of the matter is there is a large group of people that do stuff, like the people that walk in with like dining cards sometimes, you know, outside of New York a lot of people are looking for those deals, and they go to Yelp. And, you know, if you do go to a city that you've never been to, I have to say I do go on Yelp and look and see what it is, unless it's something that's covered, you know, like Portland or Columbus.
You can spot an evil would-be Yelper from a mile away, because I mean I work in the industry and have for years. I've waited tables since I was basically in the gestation period, and you could see the fire in a person's eye when they come in and they're like, "I am here to hate you."
Yeah,
I am here for you to fail.
Yeah.
So it is. It has become this funny sort of cheeky thing in the industry and elsewhere. Before, obviously, it's a really helpful reference, but it's also a fun form of entertainment.
Well, let's hear from the Baroness, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Jimmy.
Let's do it.
Javier G. writes, "Let me whip it out to take a much-deserved pee-pee on the rotting, bloated corpse of this business. When I originally had my first run-in with this business, I was pretty hard up for some barbecue. This place also looked pretty good, and man, did it fail hard in delivering anything remotely good. Half of the items were slightly cold as well. Upon my bad review, which was around 2 stars, I got harassed by the store owner and various other white knights rushing to the place's defense, telling me things that ranged from, 'You have never been there,' to 'You just don't know good food.' Pretty much treated their customers like crap. And it shows now that a sign was posted saying, 'On vacation, back soon,' and yet the place is empty. Good riddance. Good riddance, I say. Too bad. Barbecue. Rubbish." And L writes, 5 points from me and my boyfriend. Today was my second visit to Beyond Sushi, and I think an addiction is developing. I have tried the spicy meng, mite mushroom, my current favorite, and the haricot. The flavors go extremely well together, and the sauce they incorporate into each roll is divine. I am not a vegan foodie, but this place is beyond vegan and sushi. It is just damn good food. Def, a must try. Def. Thank you."
Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk to Jimmy. Morning after. Sitting to my right, Jimmy Carbone, Beer Sessions Radio. Jimmy, we have 2 things in common.
What's that, Jason?
1, we both have a show on the network, and we're both Italian Americans.
And we both have the initials JC.
Yes, which when people say it, you seem extremely entitled. You're being compared to a great figure in the history of the world.
Caesar? Or
I was thinking more.
Jesus.
I was thinking more of the Jewish of the two.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to me through your starting here at the network, and where have you seen it? Since we're network focused today with everything that's going on, from the beginning to where you are now, where we are now.
Well, I'm excited to be here today. Tonight is the members only party. It's the first real benefit that Heritage Radio Network's done. They're 501c3. When it first started about 3 years ago, some cool people that I knew, like Ann Saxby, Kathy Irway, they had their shows, and I always thought, wow, this is an amazing network to have people like that. And Rachel Wharton, even in the old days, Josh Zersky He had a show, and one winter, I met Patrick at an event, and I came on the main course once or twice, and then I said, you know, I want to do a beer show, and they were really open about it. And next thing you know, we had a show, and now we've been on for 2.5 years.
And it's grown. And following, you know, when we first started The Morning After, I would always jump on iTunes to see where we were and rated in terms of like how many hits we got and things like that. And one of the things I would always notice was there were so many, every week I would see a new beer show. And I'm not saying comparing that to you, if you have a beer show, but like there is a lot of competition out there. How does Beer Session sort of separate itself?
It's easy because we don't really listen to any other shows.
You don't know what's going on.
I mean, we live in the moment. You know, yeah. I have a bar, and I'm involved in the beer scene, craft beer scene. So we always have, whether it's authors, you know, brewery people, reps, you know, brewers themselves. We just try to, like, populate the show with the cool people from
the craft beer scene. It's like the Tonight Show moving out to L.A.
We have access here to people.
If
you come on our show, afterwards we have dinner at Roberta's. That's part of the hook.
That's part of the deal.
So coming out to Roberta's and having dinner. At first, I thought it was going to be a challenge to get people to come out to Bushwick, but it hasn't been a challenge. And everybody loves to come out here, and we always have dinner together. And Katie Kiefer's walking by outside, and we're sitting here in the window. There's something special about being in the studio for me. The great people that are here, and Jack Inslee has been so great, and Patrick, and now Aaron Fairbanks, and. I just have to say that I would be a member if I wasn't. I'm a member too. I have my membership card.
What number are you?
I'll pull it out.
Number one, number five.
I'm somewhere in there. But
in the beginning,
I had to pay too, though. You have to pay for your membership.
There's different levels. I think entry level is $60, and then it goes up from there depending on if you want to own the network or not. if you want access and different things like that. But interesting beer producers now that are happening. I mean, being a buyer, a beverage buyer about 2 years ago, a lot of the names that were coming through for me were, I think, a company called Empire, and then, what was the other one? They do the liquid gold.
Yeah, Captain Lawrence. Yeah. There's some good ones. One thing, I also produce events, so by doing the show, I also do beer events. So yesterday at Rockaway Beach, we produced an event called Barrels and Kegs, and we had about 20 breweries out there. And the ones that really, most people are interested in the new breweries. There was Carton, which is based in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey.
They're good. Terroir serves that.
Yeah,
that's really
Barrier
good.
Brewing, which is it's 3 years old and has expanded, but that's still a new brewery. They're from Oceanside, Long Island. There's actually Rockaway Brewing. They actually make the beer in like a little office in Queens, in Long Island City. You know, those are the guys that everybody wants to try. You want to try the new small breweries.
Isn't there I don't know if I read this and it didn't go through and it was something that was being planned. There is an actual state subsidy if you produce beer in New York now that didn't exist before or in the city.
I don't know the laws, but definitely if you're producing beer in New York City and you're like a microbrewery under like 5,000 barrels or something like that, you've got a lot of advantages selling in state. So you're able to self-distribute if you want. People can go to your brewery and get growler fills. As well as if you want to sign with a distributor, you can do that too. So it's New York State it's a pretty good place to start a small brewery, and you have the market of New York City, which is what everybody wants to get to.
And guests, you were talking about getting guests and stuff. And how many do you like to do? I mean, our philosophy here is we always like to stack the deck and just have a lot of just content, because just getting people to sit and listen to anything, whether it's their Mad Men or whatever favorite show it is, they still have to specifically organize that in their day. So we try to get value in terms of like listening to our shows. Do you
I walked in the room today and it's like, oh, it's Jason and Jenny and Jen, and this is great. I like the same philosophy. I like having a full house. I have someone, it's not just me. Bree O'Connor is the producer of my show Beer Sessions Radio, and we've worked together since the beginning. We had worked together before doing some blogs and things, so she's as much a part of the success. She's usually booked about a month out. And
does she ever yell at you?
No, we're pretty good. She does her job really well, and I have to say my dear friend Ray Dieter was one of the first co-hosts that I had, and he was also kind of a partner in the show, and he died last year, sadly. And another guy, Sam Merritt, who had been on some of the main course shows with Patrick, he was also one of our early co-hosts. So we've always tried to build a kind of a good collaboration, kind of like you had with the Baroness. Which was pretty awesome.
Why are you
radio?
She's incredibly expensive.
You're very quiet over there, Talik. What's going on? What kind of beer are you drinking these days?
Oh, man, all kinds of beer. You know, I was just, we were talking about this before. I was talking to Jenny before the show started about ice cream, which we'll get to later. I'm really excited about.
That's Jenny Brittenbauer of Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream.
And I was saying, oh, you know, I grew up in the South, and I in a big sort of like Southern foodie family. Everything, but people love their bourbon, people love their beer, but beer was a big part of, you know, my relatives' lives. And then we moved to Eastern Europe when I was a kid, so I had this really weird juxtaposition of like Southern beer culture, which is obviously its own thing, and then we were living in Poland and spending a lot of time in Prague as well, and that's when I started developing my beer tastes. And I gotta tell you, against my better judgment, all summer I've been drinking porters and stouts.
I'm a big fan of dark beer in summer.
Oh man, you know, me too. Some good
Schwarz beers, Dunkel lagers,
Bellhaven,
Belgian stouts.
Does stout have a lot of calories? Is that like the?
No, it depends. I mean, you're the expert.
I'm not a nutritionist, but I would say this: I think that anything that's made from like whole ingredients, that's made simply, like a good craft beer, it's probably better for you than Coke or soda.
There are,
you know,
less calories in a pint of Guinness than there are in a pint of orange juice. I will tell you that.
I want to bring this up in our third segment. We're gonna kick to our next segment, though. Take a break and talk to Jenny Brittenbauer from Jenny Splendid Ice Cream. But I want to carry this through when we all talk together about the better beers to use to make ice cream. So let's take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to talk to Jenny morning after.
All right.
Talking before with Senora Carbone about just access that we have here, you know, being in New York and all the events, specifically this time of year, summer into fall. One of those events is happening, Meatopia. Speaking of Josh Orzowski again, and it brings in amazing individuals throughout the country who you may or may not hear from, depending on, you know, their PR machine or whatever it is, or if you're caught up or you're reading eater.com. And I'm really happy to have Jenny Brittenbauer from Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream in studio here for the week.
Hey, you know, we almost blew away in that tornado last night at Meatopia. Did you see that?
It's crazy.
Oh, you serious?
It was off the hook, right? I mean, the storm came in
and you guys were
and
on
almost
an
blew
island.
Everything away.
And you were on an island.
Oh man.
It was awesome. And so it was raining. It was seriously like Woodstock, I think. Right? That's what Josh would say. Like, this is the.
So you guys were there, and it just came out of. I think that kind of came out of nowhere. That right? It was like a little bit forecasted.
Yeah, and it was funny because it was like, you know, you could see the weather rolling in, and then everybody started checking their phones, and then you got like the buzz all over the field was like, 25 minutes. We got 25 minutes. The place is shutting down. 25 minutes. Everything's blowing away.
Oh,
so we were all
Josh.
Like trying to eat and get serve everybody and do all that stuff, and then it happened, and everybody stayed, and everybody kept coming, and it was. A blast.
That's the thing about having
rain,
you know,
all
like,
night.
It's
awesome.
Like planning a wedding. And
there's a
outside.
Fire. There was fire everywhere. I mean, because it was all the grills
just flying.
It looked like a Civil War camp.
I thought you meant like fire. The fire had come from the sky.
It looked like it was going
blowing.
To
it was like in that. The Hunger. It was awesome. Like the Hunger Games. You know when she
yes
Katniss was running away. By the check that movie out. That's a really good movie. I don't know if anyone's. I know everyone's seen it, but I like it. All right, so you're in New York City for the whole week, and the truck is. This is very popular everywhere. The truck pops from place to place. You update the location, possibly on the website, possibly on Twitter. And people come, but in this instance, we are offering gratis ice cream.
Yep, we brought the truck, we drove the truck. I mean, the truck was like 50 miles an hour, so driving it from Ohio took like 2 days, and we were like, got the truck here, let's keep it here for a week. We came in from Utopia, so decided we'd just stay. And we've got scheduled stops at lots of retailers who carry our ice cream, so we're going to pull up outside and give ice cream away.
Can you tell us some of those stops?
Well, yeah. We're going to be at...
See, I don't feel so bad. Don't worry, I do that all the time.
So yeah, Dean and DeLuca.
Okay. Wait, which one? The one on Broadway?
Madison Avenue.
Okay.
Actually, we'll be at Soho, too.
The one on Broadway in Prince is like, to me, the bigger one. I don't know. Probably, maybe it's
well,
not, but
Grace's
it's awesome.
Grace's is a new one for us, awesome. And that's going to be great. Fun. We're all over. Just Borgers. All over.
But so anyone can go online and look
you can
at
go
this.
Online. Yeah, Jenny's Ice Cream's, Twitter...
Yeah,
Facebook, Instagram, whatever you got. It's and, all over there. You'll find it.
After you find that
we've
out.
Got a really cute map, too, that you can find.
You can also buy you overnight ice cream across the country.
Well, yeah, we'll ship it right to you if you want.
So today, I'm feeling adventurous. I go online and I order some ice cream. It'll arrive tomorrow. I mean, did I meet the deadline, the overnight deadline from Ohio?
Well, we're not going to ship on Sundays.
Okay.
Our fulfillment is closed on Sundays. But we'll ship it on Monday and I'll probably get Tuesday.
Tuesday? So how do you get to this point where you're here?
Oh, Jennys.com, by the way, Jennys.
So you're in Columbus, Ohio. Talk to me just about how the building up the business and the brand to this point where you're here now and sort of.
Okay, well, when we make our ice cream, first of all, I'm going to be 39 this month. Oh my God! And I started making ice cream when I was 22. It's the only thing I've ever done.
What'd you do before 22?
I was in art school.
Oh, where'd you go?
Ohio State. Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
So,
everyone, by the way, everyone that lives in this neighborhood is from Ohio.
Oh, I know.
No one is from Ohio. Yeah, exactly. Just
I'm
so
from
you know.
Columbus.
I'm from Kentucky. We're neighbors.
Well, yes, exactly. Because everything south of Cincinnati is the south.
That's right.
Ohio is everything. It's the Midwest, it's the south, and it's the northeast.
And it basically picks our presidents.
And I'll tell you what, Columbus is the crossroads for those three regions. We are surrounded by ag, of course, it's an ag state, and we benefit from that in the ice cream business. 65% of everything we do is directly derived from Ohio ag, and that's including
awesome.
The bourbon that we use to make, or the whiskey that we use to make our whiskey ice cream, which is made from Ohio red wheat.
Nice.
Distilled from. And then we have lots of other contacts. I mean, so all grass-pastured milk and cream from three small dairy farms, that's huge. In the dairy business, you know, New York is a dairy state, that's awesome. Ohio is a dairy state, top five dairy state, but most of the states aren't. So getting, you know, single source dairy, single farm dairy, doesn't happen. You know, all milk is just commingled with big dairy stuff.
Yeah, it just
so
gets,
that's so we always think our recipe starts with what the cows eat, and that's grass, which makes the best cream. We start with raw milk, pasteurize it slowly, and make our ice cream that way.
Is this something that you, when you were 22, you had that sort of mindset in place then, or did this happen
well,
over
yeah.
the years?
I thought it'd be a lot easier. I thought, okay, we're a dairy state. I'm just going to go walk up to a dairy and be like, can I make ice cream out of the cream that you guys have, right? I mean, you drive through the country, you see all the happy cows grazing on grass, and you're like, I want those cows, and I want to make ice cream out of that. But that is not how the dairy business works, and
no.
It took maybe 12 years. I've worked with organic dairies, seen them come and go, creameries, and just been on this train, you know, pushing. And now we work with this wonderful creamery called Snowville in southern Ohio near Athens.
And you get a delivery every day, or like every
pretty much every day. We have a small kitchen with not a lot of storage, so yeah, we're getting cream in all the time.
How so? Are you in the kitchen every day?
I'm in one kitchen every day. We have several. We have a test kitchen, a bakery because we make all of our marshmallows, all the nuts, all the sauces, everything in our kitchen, cookies for our sandwiches, everything, and then we have the ice cream kitchen. So I'm somewhere every day.
Right. So you're pretty mobile. And how many people are underneath you? You have, I'm assuming, a small team of people manning each of those kitchens for you. So you
we have kind of a big team of
people. Yeah, they're on. Yeah. There's a picture of them online.
We have,
right? There's
we
a
have
bunch of them.
60 people who work in our kitchen, in the ice cream kitchen.
Okay.
Okay, everything we do is handmade.
Can we name them? Just to get, I'm kidding.
Oh, you want to know them? You want to know their names?
Yeah.
Because I have them all on Facebook. I wrote a song. maybe 12, 15 people work in the bakery, and then I have a really cool R&D team, about 4 people.
Great.
What about
we have 10 stores. Do you know that?
I did not.
We have 10 ice cream shops.
In
Columbus, one in Cleveland, one in Nashville.
Nashville, that's where my parents live.
Yeah, well,
Nashville's have you ever awesome. Been?
I have been to your store in Nashville.
Right on, in East Nashville.
That's where my parents live. East Nashville.
East Nashville is the best place ever.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
You having a Kaiser Soze moment?
I am. I am having an ice cream revelation. I try to have one of those at least once a day. My parents live in East Nashville, and I was visiting them last Christmas, and we went to get ice cream. And as soon as we started talking today, I was like,
"Is it a cash only business? Was it? Is it a cash only? Are those like cash only spots that you have? I'm just for my own little
cash only.
Like ice cream places usually are cash, except you take credit cards and
oh yeah,
debit
we're
cards
pro.
And stuff like
we're
that.
Pro. Yeah. We're pro. Yeah. No.
This is fantastic.
And you know what we do excited. Really well? Service. I mean. That is so much an important part of everything that we do. I think it's because we're from Ohio, we're just really nice. But service is a very, very important part of our business, and we give, you know, samples, and you know, we have unusual flavors, so we want people to try everything.
Yeah, that's great.
How well does the online sales business translate from what's happening in the shops? Is that like a completely different business? I mean, structurally it is, but like in terms of like the stuff that you sell on there, what are the more popular items?
The popular flavors? On
yeah, flavors or just in general.
Well, salty caramel.
Mr. I mean, Cookie Puss, for example, we have Carvel ice cream here in New York.
Is that a real flavor?
That's a ice cream cake that you get. You can get. You, do you remember, you know, Tom Carvel? Carvel ice cream?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Carvel was awesome.
Are you from Jimmy?
That's how the guy from Laboratorio del Gelato, John, he had founded Ciao Bella. He grew up upstate, and his family had a Carvel ice cream store.
Yeah, it was like a tri-state area thing. This guy was going like, look, Cookie Puss, and then you basically have an ice cream cake, and it was shaped a weird looking thing. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. any other events that you're attending this week, or places that we could see you, or other check-ins that you're doing other than the shop? I mean, the truck going around.
Well, Warby Parker emailed us, and we might just pop by their store. I mean, so email us. Maybe if we're in the neighborhood, we'll pop by wherever you're at. I mean, who knows?
Great.
And if we're following you on Twitter, where should we check in? There we go. We have a...
Jenny's.com, Jenny's Ice Creams.
Okay.
You'll find us.
What does it say on the screen that he's showing you?
Find us on Facebook and Twitter with the Jenny's Ice Cream username. There's an S on the end of Jenny's Ice Creams. Got to do that. And then the hashtag Jenny's NYC.
So just it's Jenny's, Jenny's.
Yes.
Ice creams, plural.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, we'll take another
Jenny's
break.
Ice creams, plural.
Let's open up the forum here. Let's start a beer ice cream shop concept.
I am we have an awesome beer down flavor. With that.
Let's take a break. Morning after.
Thank you.
We just got Patrick Martins, founder, Heritage Foods USA, Heritage Radio Network, just popped in to check on us. I'm going to open up the forum here, but I have a name of an ice cream blend that I'd like the three of us to work on. It's called Jimmy and Jenny's Columbus 43.
All right.
It's a blend of Ohio cream with Carton Brewery Red Rye, and I'm looking for a third ingredient there. What can we get in that?
I'll give it to... I mean, the beer has a high IBU. It's a little hoppy. It's got some rye in it. I was drinking a lot of it last night, so I don't know what the ice cream part is.
Well, I'll tell you what we're doing with the Yazoo, the Cherrywood Smoked Porter, is bar nuts. So we're doing rosemary bar nuts, which are awesome. They're like every nut that we already have in our kitchen, plus cayenne, brown sugar, salt, and rosemary roasted. Throw those in there. It was really good. I don't know. I have to think about that for a minute.
Well, those flavors... So
maybe you don't need anything else in there, just beautiful cream and...
So those are the kind of ice creams that you make?
I think that settles it. We have it right here.
All right.
All right, let's put it in the production schedule here.
All right. Well done.
Jimmy, you send over... Do you prefer it in bottle? You just need the product. You need the raw beer form. Is it a specific format you like it in when you produce it making ice cream? Do you like it in bottles? Do you like it in a growler? Which is essentially a bottle, but a bigger.
First of all, we don't need bubbles. So if we work directly with a brewery, we can get it in different states, right? Because all the bubbles come out in the ice cream machine anyway.
All right, Jimmy, get on
so
that.
So we can just put it in a...
Thank you.
Keg or something.
All right,
easy.
All right, so we got to get the product to... do we ship them directly to Columbus?
Well, you should talk to Augie Carton. He's at Carton Brewing. That's his Twitter. And I'm sure he'll jump right on this.
Okay, well, this will be fun. We'll do
and that. All the proceeds... Well, I'd say 10% of the proceeds go to Heritage Radio Network.
Oh, we'll just say... call it all of it.
Oh, everything goes there, and it'll be a limited release.
Yeah.
No, I think we're have an interesting dynamic here. We're talking about... You have a business. You're a business owner, right?
Yes.
But not
like Jenny. I don't have 10 stores.
Past 2 weeks, we've had two conventions, two political conventions. It's not a political show, but they're talking about, you know, just how to, you know, have a small business and make it work and stuff. Do you guys feel like you have all the support?
Can talk politics for a second and say at least...
Ohio picks presidents.
Yes.
Ohio picks presidents.
And I'll tell you, one thing that pissed me off is... You didn't build that. I mean, I worked my ass off for the last 16 years to build this company with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And the community of Columbus, I'll tell you, if anybody wants to start a business, you go to Columbus because it will be, it takes a community to raise a business. It takes so many things.
So you're a Republican?
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
It takes a community unless you're an Ivy League educated millionaire. And then can pretty much do whatever you want by yourself.
But no, yes, exactly.
I think that was the sentiment. Yeah.
Which is not true. You'd had so much help.
Which
I don't understand
is
it
what
at all.
Percentage of the population? Yeah, that's for small business owners. I felt like the collective sigh when all those comments were made. It was just like, oh, God.
I liked Clinton's speech last week.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Who
awesome.
Didn't? Are you kidding me? It was like... It was like a Bill Pullman speech in Independence Day.
We will, and from now on, the 4th of July will not just be an American holiday. Sorry, it's on TV every day.
I'd like to take this opportunity for our listeners, because there are only three other lucky people in the studio right now that get to experience the fact that Jason Colucci is wearing a pair of red Ray-Bans and a backwards baseball cap.
Yes, I am.
And there is...
It took me to show number 43 to really commit to the look of the dress.
I'm digging it, man.
Here. Ray-Bans. But I just bought them. They're not like a vintage or anything like that. I always got them as a gift.
Looking good. It's a good looking crew on the show today, I gotta say.
So, thoughts, guys? Any final comments here?
Can we talk more about the beer ice cream?
Yeah.
Well, stop trying to take over our show. Your beer... please. Let's incubate this beer.
So when you make a beer ice cream, do you reduce the ice cream to a syrup?
The beer you make?
Yeah, when you...
I don't. I mean, if that was... If I'm kind of going for that flavor profile, but I actually like the... I like it to be in the pure state or whatever. Like, I like the alcohol. I think you need to taste that to make it taste like beer. Otherwise, you end up with sort of a syrupy flavor, which is good, too. It's a little more sort of yeasty or whatever, and it's just different. I don't do it that way. I think it hides the flavor. I just put it right into the ice cream. But you've got to be careful because it's high in water and it will make it icy. So, you know, it's a balance. Ice cream making is just always about that balance.
Are you able to ship it across state lines if it has alcohol in it?
Well, I'll tell you what. New York has the strongest laws. We end up making our ice creams in Ohio to New York laws. So it's only allowed like 1% or whatever alcohol. So we really have to watch that. But in Ohio and other places, we can go much higher.
You can get ice cream drunk.
Yeah.
Which, for me, is pretty much the ultimate state of bliss. Would be.
Well, right.
I've never experienced it myself, but I feel like that would be it.
Do the Jimmy, does the beer community... what sort of things does the beer community frown upon that beer companies are doing now?
I really talk more about the craft beer scene. I don't really talk so much about the...
Well, you guys are the highbrow community, yeah. So what do you guys laugh at? Like, for me, I go to a restaurant, and they hand me a menu with pictures on it. I kind of laugh at that a little bit.
Well, the big thing is just having real craft brands. It's not having, like, things that are owned by Anheuser-Busch on your list or, you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon. And there's a lot of places... My pet peeve is are places that are draft, not craft. So you've got a place with 10, 20 draft lines.
And they give
and
them
most
all
the of them, yeah. They're just regular beers that you can get anywhere. And there's so many great, whether you're in Ohio or anywhere, every state, every region, definitely every city has really good small breweries. And that's the message we try to say is, you know, drink local, embrace your small brewers. And people are doing it. People are into it.
I think it's more in the the common knowledge now, but when I think Coors Light does a marketing campaign for Blue Moon, which is essentially owned by that company, and approaches like sort of your, you know, tries to hit that demographic that's buying.
Yeah, I just don't pay attention to it. I mean, no, but if anything, really don't. I just try to focus on getting good beer, like, and meeting someone like Jenny that, you know, she's making really great ice cream. Like, I just want to try the ice cream. So where are you going to be
I'm
tonight?
So mad we don't have any right
cream.
Now.
Yeah, what's going on?
Be right here. I'm going to try to get that truck to come over here to Roberto's.
Come to the Heritage Radio Network party. Yeah. I want to try your ice cream.
We're going to see if we can make it happen.
So, yeah, but so with beer, like the industry, I mean, I would tell you things that I've had problems with. Like a few years ago, we did a summer promotion and tried to call it Bike to the Bars. And I was new then to all the beer industry things. And I really got thumbs down. People said, you really shouldn't be promoting riding a bike and drinking beer. And I thought, well, this is kind of European. This is cool. You can ride from vineyard to vineyard. Why can't you ride from one bar and have, you know, beer, then ride again, you know? That was the only thing I ever got the real thumbs down on. It came back. I mean, the Times interviewed me, and the next year they followed up, and then they wanted to know. Suddenly I was lumped in with a group of, oh, do you have any really bad stories about riding a bike drunk? And I just said, I don't. But...
So when
we could talk about that. I guess people do have good stories about that.
So when can our listeners tune into your show?
We're every Tuesday at 5 o'clock on heritageradionetwork.org. It's at beer_sessions. And we love being on Heritage Radio Network.
And your establishment in the city? Where?
I own Jimmy's Number 43. Okay. It's jimmysnumber43.com. We're in the East 7th Street in the East Village. In the heart of the Brewmuter Triangle, we're neighbors with Burp Castle Standings. We're on the McSorley, so it's the Brewmuter Triangle. That's us.
And Jenny, anything from on your end that you wanted to plug before we say goodbye here?
No, I hope to see everybody in New York on the streets the next week.
Yeah, look it up, Jenny's Ice Creams.
That's right.
I'm into it.
Ms. Tulloch?
I have many feelings.
How many?
I have a quick thing. I have a quick thing coming up. Plugs? If anyone's interested, just one. I'll keep it to one. I've been doing the show at the People's Improv Theater for the last 2 months called Parade Away with Oscar and Jen with my dear friend Oscar Montoya, fabulous New York City comedian. We just got accepted into New York City Sketch Festival at the Pit, which is exciting, and we will be appearing in that festival on Friday, October 12th at midnight. It's a late one. But there is a bar. Anyway, it's a big sketch fest. It's first year the Pit's hosting it in the sort of sketch improv comedy world. It's a pretty cool thing, and I'm really excited about the show. It's pretty irreverent and silly. But
any new impersonations you're working on?
Let's
hey, you
see.
Know you do. Is it Laura Linney? Is that the one that you?
Well, I did. I'm trying to think. On this show, we've done Holly Hunter, Queen Latifah.
Can you do a little Holly Hunter? I like Holly Hunter when you do Holly Hunter.
If you want to talk about ice cream, we can talk about ice cream. But, you know, sweetheart, if you want to get into that, then I'm going to have to start talking about other things, you know, like beer and...
Because I like that impression because no one does Holly Hunter. I think that's
I did a video once of Bjork and Holly Hunter playing charades, which got a little off hand. But anyway, People's Improv Theater, the New York City Sketch Festival, Friday, October 12th. Come check it out.
Patrick Martin's just frowning upon us right now. I see him. I think he missed that death stare.
It's okay, Patrick.
I am Jason Colucci. This is The Morning After. Tune in every Sunday, 3 p.m., Heritage Radio Network. You can follow us on Facebook, The Morning After. Follow me on Twitter, at the Jason Colucci. See you soon.
Beer.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, on Beer Sessions Radio, we gather every week to celebrate our favorite beverage and the people who make it. It's a clubhouse for brewers, and we love tasting and talking beer, ale, lambics. If it's yeasty, bubbly, or hoppy, we want to try it and tell you about it. If you want to be a member of our club, too, support the station and hit the donate button on our webpage at heritageradionetwork.org.